It is the JR Sport Brief Show on the Infinity Sports Network. I am JR. Maybe you knew that already. If you didn't, I am JR. And whoever, wherever you are, I hope you're great. I hope you're tremendous. I hope you're cool. I'll be hanging out with you for the next 2 hours. This show gets started every weekday at 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 Pacific. I'm in Atlanta. Thank you to super producer and host Ryan Hickey in New York City. And we have talked about a lot. Los Angeles Lakers, the end of their season. What's next for LeBron? $52 million next year, even though he said he's going to think about it. Sure. We showed Rudy Gobert some love. Yeah, Rudy Gobert's getting love. What a world. 27 points, 24 rebounds last night. Hey, right now, this minute, the New York Knicks lead Detroit 30-23. The Knicks are trying to eliminate the Pistons in Detroit and get them the hell up on out of here. In 2 hours from now, we're going to have the Denver Nuggets trying to do the same thing, trying to eliminate the Los Angeles Clippers. Talked about the Golden State Warriors. My man, they haven't eliminated the Rockets yet, and looks like Steph Curry has a bum hand, something going on with his thumb. How about this? In 20 minutes, we're going to have a chat with Anthony Irwin, who covers all things Lakers for Clutch Points. We've talked about Giannis Antetokounmpo. How about this? Travis Hunter. Like, there's some wagering going on as to whether or not he's going to win both Defensive Player of the Year and Offensive Player of the Year. At the end of the show, of course, we'll talk about a few things that happened this day in sports history. We got a couple of words regarding some quarterbacks currently in the NFL. Obviously, Aaron Rodgers still waiting. Well, the Steelers are still waiting to see what Aaron Rodgers decides to do. And so we have so much more to do as the show continues on. And then earlier today, we learned that John Halliburton, the father of Tyrese Halliburton, yeah, John getting up in the face of Giannis Antetokounmpo, he's not attending any more Pacers games for the rest of this season. I mean, that could be 4 more games. I mean, that could be, I don't know, 12 more games. We have no idea. But we won't see him until, I guess, next year, where I assume in October he will be contrite. Hickey, next year he's going to be sitting in a suite, or is he going to have his lips zipped? Like, when he's back, is he coming back with a vengeance? What's he going to be doing?
I hope not. You know, he should take a tip from that one guy who went viral for his morning routine and put some tape over the mouth.
Oh, my God.
If you want to sit courtside.
Oh, the guy who dipped his face into Saratoga water?
That's right. And it was like up at 3 a.m. and swimming in the pool and jumped like in the air for like 3 minutes before landing in the pool and dipping his face into water like 3 different times.
You want to know what I realized after that viral video?
What's that?
I opened up my fridge and I looked at, you know, one of the, there's so many things on the door. You know, I have a bottle of that water on the side of my door.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. And I know I didn't buy it. I don't know where it came from. I have no idea. I don't know if somebody walked into the house and put that on there. I don't know if I walked in one night and came from some event and I had a bottle. Because I'll tell you what I would not do. I ain't buying no single bottle of Saratoga Springs water. I'm not doing that. How much is one of them stupid bottles? $8 a bottle?
I was about to ask. It looks pretty expensive.
Yeah, I'm not doing that. But I did realize, I was like, wait a minute. I said, I'm not this schmuck on the internet. I'm like, why do I have a bottle of this in my house? I don't know.
Imagine, well, he's not, I don't think, actually rich, but imagine trying to portray how rich you are, that your face is too good to dip in ice cold tap water. You got to buy $8 Saratoga Springs water to dip your face into for a little face cold
right.
Punch.
Shout outs to everybody in northern New York. I guess the water is, I guess, spectacular. Man, got to pay for water. Hickey, that's one thing I do not like paying for. I will not pay for water. I will die parched in the middle of the desert. I will chop open a cactus somehow, some way before I pay for water. Not doing it.
Do you mean like if you're driving and like you're thirsty, you will not stop off at a rest stop to buy a bottle of water? You're saying like at, you know, restaurants when they come over and say, oh, do you want sparkling?
If I'm driving in a if I'm driving, the last thing I want to do is drink a lot of water and stop and keep on peeing anyway. Okay.
So you have a strict no buying water policy for the most part, is what you're saying.
I got to time it out, man. I got
to
time it out.
What about at a game? You go to the Hawks game.
Oh, well, I mean.
You buying water?
I don't buy anything at the Hawks game. Okay.
I mean, that's not the best example, then. Okay.
Yes, that's the worst example. I'm not buying anything at the game. I'm not buying food. I'm not buying water. Everything is there for me.
You get hooked up well.
Yeah, I'm not buying anything, man. I'm not, but in a general sense, it doesn't matter. I'm not buying water, okay? I got a canister of water right next to me within reach. A canister. You think I'm, and it came from my house. You think I'm going to stop? How much is a bottle of water now anyway? $2.53?
I would guess, because I've not bought water in a while similarly. I mean, I guess it depends what size you get.
Bro.
Sport cap.
We got a lot of people on the road. We got a lot of people on the road listening to us right now. Truck drivers and Uber drivers, Lyft drivers, Amazon. We got a lot of people driving right now. For all this money that we have now saved on plastic, right? Why is the price of the water bottle higher? Like, remember a plastic bottle used to be plastic, and now we care about the earth, reportedly. And so now it's less plastic. And so I feel like if I take one of these water bottles and I throw it up against the wall, it's just going to explode. The old bottles, you throw it up against the wall, it's like a basketball. It's going to bounce right back to you. If it's less plastic, why is the water cost more money?
Because I bet you it's more expensive to make somehow. Make less plastic probably equals higher expense.
Make more water? Are we making more water on Earth, or are we just recycling the same water that's been here for the past, I don't know, 300 gazillion trillion years?
I'd probably say recycling.
Yeah, we're recycling all the water, all of it. Damn, water is old, man. This stuff out here is old. Damn. The water's old, the air is old. The dirt outside. What is the dirt? Oh, my God. It's full of everything. Dinosaurs and humans and kids outside playing it, Hickey. Come on, man.
Yeah, think about it. We are breathing in recycled air.
Yeah, we are.
Wow.
We need to be happy it's here, right? If it wasn't here, we'd be dead.
Yeah, I guess the air right from the 1700s is still the same air we're breathing today.
He sure as hell is.
Wow.
Hopefully things are a little bit cleaner, I think.
I hope, but how do you know?
I hope. Look at what's going on in Mars. Like, I know, right? I was just there yesterday. I read about it in the Daily Planet, you know?
Well, just took a quick trip over there.
Yeah, I was just at Mars. You see what's going on over there? I heard they had water. I heard they had water there. It's crazy. How long ago did Mars have water? Like they said, there used to be water there. That thing is dry as a bone, man. Come on. Who took the water? What happened? Why is there no more water on Mars? Why did it just all of a sudden dry up? And who's to say in another 3 gazillion years we don't have water, right?
Absolutely. I mean, it's a real possibility.
I'll be dead by then. I will not care. But
I also agree.
I'll be dirt. I will be the dirt.
People will be stepping right on us. No respect.
Yeah, no respect. My ashes will be from here to China. They'll be all over the place, right? When did Mars lose water? Here we go. This stupid question. Mars is believed to have lost most of its surface water 3 billion years ago.
Wow.
Come on, man.
That's crazy.
Come on. 3 billion years ago, Hickey?
My mind, like, explodes when you actually try to think of, like, how long either, you know, before we existed, like, how 3 billion years, like, how long that is,
how insignificant I am, right?
And you ever try to think about how long forever is? Like, you ever think about that?
No. I might as well just, why don't we, me and you, I should quit and you should quit and we should just leave and just go, none of this matters. Okay,
that's, we only got one life, you know.
Yeah, I can rob a bank. I don't need to sit here and work. I can do better. What does it matter? Go to prison. I'm going to break out. What does it matter?
We're all going to be dead one day anyway.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, me, you, and everybody after. 3 billion years?
Crazy.
Yo, oh, man. I'm looking at it. Which twin brother is this? This is Asar, right? At the free throw line? Asar?
Yes, sir.
It doesn't matter. Him, me, and how many human? Here's another question. How many human beings do you think at one point in time inhabited the Earth? Come on now. I don't know. How many we got on Earth right now? 8 billion? 9?
Sounds
think about
right.
that. Think about that. We got 9 million people on this rock floating around. Come on. 9 billion people. I mean, the population has exploded, so. This is crazy. Hickey, now I'm really thinking about this.
And
this
right?
is
when you think about it, it's pretty trippy.
It's a crazy con. And we're not high. I'm not high. You're not high, right? You're not high either, are you?
No, I'm not.
I'm not high either. I'm doing my job. It's just real. It's crazy to think about. And you imagine a population increase. Just think of 100 years is not a long time. 100 years is somebody's grandma, okay? In one grandma lifetime, you think the population, what do you think the population was in 1925? You think we had 1 billion people on Earth? 2 billion? No, right? Hell no.
Probably not.
How many people on Earth in, everybody going to learn today, 1925. Okay. The world populate 2 billion people in 1925. We in 100 years, we have increased by, that's, Hickey, that's a lot of baby making, man.
It's almost fourfold. Wow.
Yeah, that's a lot of, ooh, that's a lot, man. Damn. This is crazy.
Without the Earth expanding at all, too.
Yeah, well, I mean, well, we're ripping apart every place to live, right?
I guess you're right. I guess it is expanding in that sense.
I saw a deer somewhere the other day. I'm not supposed to see a deer. I'm like, oh, well, I know why. Like, I'm in his house, you know?
He's not lost. We're the one that just moved in and crashed his place.
Yeah, he's put a couple buildings where he used to live, and now they don't give him, would he have affordable housing? He ain't got no money, right? They're not letting him move in. Yeah, man. Didn't you say you saw a fox where you live or something like that?
No, there was a coyote on the loose.
In Manhattan?
Yes, a few weeks ago.
The most concrete-ass thing in the country. There was a coyote in there.
That's right. How crazy is that?
Oh, man.
That's scary.
Man, when I come, Hickey, when I fly back, I go, what is this place? Oh, there's nothing but concrete. I'm like, this is nothing but concrete. And when I fly back to Georgia, you want to know what I see? I see earth. I see trees. I go, this makes more sense than Legoland. That's what New York looks like, Legoland. Like, what is all of this stuff? And who lives in all of these? Do people live in them big buildings? Nobody lives there, right?
No. They build these tall-ass, skinny-ass buildings, sell them for millions of dollars, and no one wants to do it.
For the sheik. The sheik lives there, right? Or he owns it, but he doesn't live there.
Right.
Okay. That's why I hope the New York Knicks lose. That's why I hope they lose. Because the Sheik has a $20 billion apartment that he doesn't live in.
Because there's not enough trees.
Yeah, not enough trees. And I did see the Sheiks, they putting on a boxing event in Madison Square Garden tomorrow. How about that? They got so much money. They shut down Madison Square Garden. Forget Madison Square Garden. Who cares? They shut down Times Square to hold a legitimate boxing match. A card with champion caliber fighters. Like, imagine having that much money. Hey, where do you want to hold your fight? Well, what's going on in Times Square that day? Well, doesn't matter. I'm just going to buy out Times Square. Ask New York City and State how much money they need. Oh, they need 50, 60, 100 mil? Done. Just wire it over. I need that much money. Come on now.
Isn't Canelo fighting in that? Like, that's pretty legit, right?
He is. Oh, Cinco de Mayo, right?
Uh-oh. It's right on the corner.
It's right. What is it? Monday officially?
Monday.
So this is the weekend for everybody to get drunk.
Saturday is going to be a time,
it's gonna
I'm
be
sure.
Crazy. Oh, where's Canelo fighting? No, I don't think he's in Times Square. He's somewhere else.
He's fighting this weekend, but no, okay.
Yeah, he's tomorrow in Times Square is one boxing card. Canelo, how about this? You want to know where he's fighting?
Mexico.
Saudi Arabia.
Ah, okay. Double dip for the Saudis.
You got it. Look, they pay. You got to kiss the ring, right? I guess.
I guess so. They own boxing now?
They own boxing. They try to own golf. NFL, the NBA are like, stay over there. We don't want no problems. We don't want no problems. Could you imagine if the Saudis were allowed to invest, like really outwardly invest into the NBA and NFL? It'd be over, right? They'd own our sports. I don't think anybody wants that. They've done it in like European soccer, and the fans are just like, man, this ain't cool. Like, we don't like this. I don't know. Imagine, it's just LeBron James standing next to the Sheik. I don't know. Some people who love him would love him more, and people, I think more people would hate him. Or maybe not. I don't know. Anyway, it's the JR Sport Brief Show on the Infinity Sports Network. LeBron is going to have to find something to do. Maybe own the Las Vegas team, wherever they make it. We're going to take a break. When we come back, we're going to have a chat with Anthony Irwin. He's a Lakers insider for Clutch Points. He works here with us on Odyssey, covering all things basketball. We're gonna get his thoughts on the Los Angeles Lakers and what's next for the King, King James, LeBron James. It's the JR Sport Brief Show, Infinity Sports Network.
You're listening to the JR Sport Brief.
It is the JR Sport Brief Show here with you on the Infinity Sports Network. Los Angeles Lakers, the season is over. It's done. That means LeBron James is telling everybody, at least he's thinking about his future. J.J. Redick is telling the team to get into shape. They're thinking about who they can add on the roster. To talk about the Los Angeles Lakers, what we've seen, what they could do, what we can expect, is someone who covers all things Los Angeles Lakers. For Clutch Points, for Odyssey, joining us right now is Anthony Irwin. Anthony, how are you?
Doing great. J.J. Redick didn't tell me to get in shape today, so I'm doing fantastic.
Hey, well, I think we have an idea who he might be referring to. Hey, Anthony, you refer to J.J. Redick. He was very direct in his comments today. He was angry yesterday before the game about insinuations that he didn't consult with his coaching staff on rotations. What do you take away from J.J. Redick's first year as head coach?
I think the regular season was a thorough success, full stop. I think as a rookie head coach, stepping into the situation that he was, coaching a LeBron team, coaching a LeBron AD team, and then coaching a LeBron Luka Doncic team, getting to 50 wins and managing the egos and the injuries and everything that kind of comes with it, I thought he did a fantastic job for 82 games. And then this postseason, I think the moment was too big for him. It was a situation where I thought some of his decisions were pretty brash and reactive. He was never really on his front foot throughout the entire series. And yeah, you could talk about roster limitations and talent limitations and all of that, but you had Luka Doncic and LeBron James struggled to score in the fourth quarter, and it was a lot of the same offense game in, game out, with no real adjustments there. So I think as great as he was in the regular season, we now have to look ahead to hopefully a giant leap forward in the postseason next year.
Anthony Irwin here with us, Lakers insider. When you think about the fact that he's gone through that success in the regular season, and we've had this falter here in the postseason last night, not going with a big, and do you think he's going to change his attitude? It seems like from beginning to end, he was always on edge with everybody. Do you think he's going to relax just a little bit, or is he just going to wind himself up into the ground?
It's funny to go from, you know, Lakers fans are accustomed to Phil Jackson, the Zen master, to J.J. Redick storming off when he's asked about his relationship with his assistant coaches. I do think he's going to have to figure out a way to balance out his emotions and not take it so personally when people ask him about stuff. He did something that no other coach in the modern era of basketball has done in the postseason, which is not make a substitution for the entirety of the second half in game four. And for him to be astonished and admonish any kind of question about that and say how he doesn't have any regrets over it and it wasn't a fatigue thing and it was this and that and the other, it's just like, man, we watched that game. We know that that wasn't the right decision to make. Just cop to it and we can all move on. And I thought that the Lakers' approach to the beginning of the game in game five was pretty indicative of a team that saw those quotes and I don't think really appreciated them all that much.
Well, Anthony, you talk about the comments that he made earlier today about the team needs to get into championship shape. We can go down the roster. We know he ain't talking about LeBron James. What are your thoughts on Luka Doncic and what this offseason might look like? Is he going to spend a lot of time in Slovenia? Is he going to stick around in L.A.? What's his offseason expected to look like?
Well, he said after the game that he has loved being a Laker and that, you know, that it has been a very positive experience for him. Before game five, he went out and paid the entirety of what was needed to fix up a mural, a Kobe and Gianna mural that was defaced there. So he seems to really love the city. He seems to really embrace the city. And now we're going to see how he embraces the fan base at its most rabid, because this the Lakers fan base holds its teams and its players to the highest standard.
Yeah,
we don't judge people or coaches or players based on playoff appearances or division titles or anything like that. It's rings, right? It's where the whole concept of rings culture came from, and we're going to see how well he handles that. But I think he said everything that he needed to say. I would imagine he's going to rethink some of the conditioning stuff. He missed a big chunk of the season with a soft tissue injury again, and that's something that I think he has to be more aware of. And look, we've all been in our mid-20s when the stuff that you got away with at 23, you don't quite get away with at 27. And then you don't really get away with it again at 30, and then 30 whatever. And I think watching him kind of move around the basketball court in that series, especially against somebody as explosive athletically as Anthony Edwards, that looked to me like somebody was like, man, I can't play beer pong before I play basketball anymore. Not saying he would, but, I mean.
Well,
he looked like a college kid who just realized, man, my mortality is actually here.
Yeah, if you ask Nico Harrison, maybe he did, okay? We don't know.
We saw that clip of Steve of Finley, right?
Where he's taking that beer out of his hand. Yeah. Yeah, I'm sure he had a beer tonight, maybe this morning, maybe right now. We'll see. Hopefully not. Lakers insider Anthony Irwin is here with us on the JR Sport Brief Show, coast to coast. LeBron James at the end of the season, well, not end of the season, but post-game last night, of course he told everybody he doesn't know what he's going to do. Everybody knows he's coming back to collect his 50 and try to win another championship. Why is he putting us through this exercise?
He's LeBron. I think he, at this point, he likes the attention. I think it keeps the Lakers a little honest too. When they see kind of the, not necessarily concerned, because like you're saying, I think everybody kind of understands how this is probably going to play out. But I think he kind of wants the Lakers to see, hey, everybody's kind of freaking out over the fact that I might step away. I was still really good in this series, and I'm still, especially if I'm teaming up with Luka, good enough to invest in. So I think it's a lot of little things all at the same time. But also, it also just kind of falls in line with him being facing the idea of being a 40-something in the NBA. He's in completely uncharted territory there, and how he handles all of this, and if he wants to go through the rigmarole of an offseason again to get into the shape that he holds himself to the standard of, it's going to take a lot of work. And I do think there are some moments after these games, especially after a series as embarrassing as the last three that he's played in have been, I would imagine that there is some real, I don't know if I can do this. I would imagine he will, but it would be weird if he didn't question his ability to head into another season next time at 41.
Yeah, LeBron James would be entering into his age 41 season, 23rd regular season. Anthony Irwin is here with us on the JR Sport Brief Show. What could the Lakers realistically do to fill out the roster? Like, who would have to go? Are we talking about a Reeves? They already tried to get rid of Connect. Like, what could they realistically do?
So this is where it's tough. Rob Pelinka talked at the exit presser today about how the Lakers clearly need more size. He talked about them needing a big. I think they need multiple bigs. You look at all of the rotations around the league, and they all have plenty of depth at the center position. So I think they need multiple bigs. I think they need a variety of bigs. And I think they also need to get more athletic on the perimeter. To me, the reason the Lakers lost this series to the Minnesota Timberwolves was they were both smaller and slower. That's a terrible combination in sports. Like, that is, it doesn't matter what sport you're playing outside of golf. If you are both smaller and slower, you're going to really struggle. And the Lakers are going to need to add more size, and they're going to need to add more athleticism. And that's not cheap. They only have one first-round pick that they can move this upcoming summer. They have the number 55 pick in the upcoming draft. They have a bunch of expiring contracts, but without touching the actual rotation, it does get a little tricky to check all of the boxes that Rob Pelinka said he was going to. So I do think big changes are coming to the roster. I would be very surprised if this team didn't look really different in the upcoming season, but it is going to take some creativity that, frankly, Rob Pelinka has really kind of struggled with, over the course of his tenure.
All things considered, and of course, getting Luka Doncic is just like a gift. But when you take a look at this season, you think about LeBron James, where he is at his stage of his career. You think about the Lakers. There still has to be a lot of optimism versus, what we saw before February 1, where you got Anthony Davis and LeBron versus what you have now with Luka and LeBron. It has to be a sense of optimism, no?
Oh, absolutely. It's a completely different organization. It's a completely different era of said organization. It's really exciting, the idea of LeBron and Luka getting a full offseason to work with each other, to talk to each other, to game plan how they should play together. JJ Redick might even be able to attend some of those meetings. I'm really excited about where the Lakers are heading here. But I don't know about you, but I think one championship, one Western Conference Finals appearance where they were swept and not much else to show for it was kind of a low return on the LeBron James, Anthony Davis era. And there were some context there, right? You had COVID, which completely threw some of the scheduling out of whack and the return, such quick return after the bubble, I think clearly paints a different picture than all this stuff. But it still needs to be noted that I don't think the Lakers maximized that window. And if the Lakers are going to maximize this Luka Doncic era, and they're going to maximize certainly the next season or two where they have Luka and LeBron, they're going to have to kind of rethink a lot of their organization. They don't employ a pro scouting department. Rob Pelinka runs the thinnest front office in the sport, basically. They need to invest into the infrastructure of their organization, and thus maybe maximize their work on the margins. And if they're able to do that, I think they'll be pretty good. But, the fact that they even have this opportunity in the first place, most fan bases would give their right arm for the idea of going from LeBron to LeBron and AD to LeBron and Luka Doncic. So in that sense, Lakers fans are really blessed, but that comes with hefty expectations.
Well, Anthony, before we let you go, I mean, we know the Lakers are mom and pop. We saw the family fight. We saw the family feud after the passing of Dr. Buss. You said they don't have a scouting department, or it's a thin scouting department. What makes the Lakers different than other teams?
They have just always believed in running a very tight ship. You have, I have some friends who either work there or worked there for past tense. And, you know, they said that almost nobody there gets to just do one job. Everybody there has to wear multiple hats, and everybody there has to kind of get creative with their time and with their resources. Given some of the staffing concerns there, they aren't very well known around the league when it comes to, you know, paying assistant coaches the way that they should, especially if you consider the cost of living in L.A. The Lakers, again, they have run one way for a really long time, and they've had a lot of success running that one way for a really long time. But I think we've entered into a different era of professional sports where you have tech bro money running this stuff.
And
that's where, you know, some of these mom and pop shops either have sold completely or have had to really rethink their approach.
Well, the Lakers better catch up. If they don't win something with Luka, then, I mean, everybody needs to get the boot. Hey, Anthony, thank you so much for the time. Tell everybody where they can follow you and your work, whether it be with Odyssey or Clutch Points. Fill us in.
Yeah, thank you very much for having me at Anthony Irwin LA on Twitter. And then you can find the show on YouTube. That is youtube.com/@LakersLounge to find the show there. We're doing some really cool stuff this upcoming summer. We've partnered with the Laker Film Room podcast and with Jovan Buha's podcast. And we're building out, hopefully, this brand new kind of LA sports podcast network.
Nice.
So keep an eye out for that.
All right, Anthony, thank you so much. I know the Lakers will keep you busy. They never have a quiet anything. So enjoy the offseason the best you can, okay?
No such thing as an offseason.
Yeah, I know. Sure. I know, not with the Lakers.
You're listening to the JR Sport Brief.
It is the JR Sport Brief show here with you on the Infinity Sports Network. Thank you to Anthony Irwin for joining us. Clutch Points Lakers insider. You can catch him on Odyssey Sports. And he's like, yeah, J.J. Redick's going to have to loosen up a little bit. Lakers going to have to find him some help. And then Hickey, I was a little surprised he said the Lakers are a little cheap on the scouting side of things. And I get it. When you're the Lakers, you're just going for superstar talent. How difficult is that? But you think about a team like the San Antonio Spurs, they've spent the past 25, 30 years just finding some of the best talent ever that people have never heard of. They've won championships. I guess you have to do it different in San Antonio. The Lakers, I don't know. I would think you would want to beat the drum in every way possible.
I would agree. I wonder if it's because it is family owned. So when there's no different ownership groups or maybe some modern, when it's a family business, I wonder if you just kind of get set in your old ways of oh, this is what it used to be. This is what the budget used to be. Why would we expand when we won in the 80s with one scout? Well, why can't we win now with one scout? I wonder if when it's family owned, even with the history, that leads you to kind of getting, sticking to old fashioned patterns instead of adjusting to where the league is now.
Yeah, you heard Ant. He said, hey, we win. We're the Lakers. What do we need to fix? And I don't know. Sometimes you can. That's the thing. You're always going to have talent that wants to go play in L.A. And that's the plus. That's the positive that they have working for them. And I guess you don't have to, got to work as hard. It stinks. And we talked about J.J. Redick earlier in the show, and also Anthony talked about him as well. He's wound tight. Brian Windhorst was actually on Get Up earlier today, and he said that J.J. Redick needs to mature as a coach. Listen.
J.J. Redick coached very immaturely in this series. He was still seething and upset about the previous games to the point where Reggie Miller said on the broadcast last night he had to try to calm him down in the pregame meeting because J.J. was acting, frankly, childishly. He walked off and stormed off in the pregame session with reporters. Regardless of the question, it's not the way to start. And then he not only did he double down on his, frankly, irrational decision not to substitute for an entire half in a playoff game. He doubled down on that. And then in this game, he played a guy who hadn't played in 3 months ahead of centers that he had on his roster. He played Maxi Kleba. He had never even practiced with the Lakers. Maxi Kleba's on the court with 5 minutes to go in like a two-possession game. That is not a rational decision.
Yeah, I forgot Maxi Kleba was even on the team. I'm like, what the hell is he doing out there? I'm like, what the hell? Maxi Kleba. Yeah, I hope J.J. Redick lightens up. Please. I feel like he's going to just spontaneously combust on the sidelines one day. Just take it easy, man. Take it easy. And speaking of coaches, I mentioned this earlier on in the show. Might as well get it out the way. We got a head coach on the other side of the country in Brian Daboll. He's getting ready to coach a bunch of quarterbacks. And this is Brian Daboll's thing. He even got something out of Daniel Jones. He worked with Josh Allen. He was a quarterbacks coach with the New York Jets under Mangini. So he worked with Brett Favre, even though Brett Favre was a little older at that point, Chad Pennington. Like, Brian Daboll's thing is working with quarterbacks. Well, now you got to work it out with Russell Wilson and also work it out with Jameis and Tommy DeVito. Nobody cares about him. More importantly, Jackson Dart. Brian Daboll says he wants Jackson Dart to be uncomfortable. Of course, he's the low man on the totem pole right now, but ultimately, every now and then, he's just going to go out there and throw him to the wolves and make him go to work. And even the general manager, Joe Shane, of the New York Giants, he was on SiriusXM NFL radio, and he said, yeah, Jackson Dart sitting down, learning, is going to be beneficial to him in the long run.
Dave's came out and said it on, I believe it was on Friday, you know, Russ is the starter, and, you know, we've been through this. We went through with Josh Allen. We had a little bit different quarterback room at the time, but he was going to sit his rookie year, and then halftime of the opening game, we were getting smoked by Baltimore, so we put him in, and the rest rest was history. So that plan didn't go as well, but we didn't have a Russell Wilson or Jameis Winston in the room. So again, Jackson's going to come in. He's got to learn the offense. There's a lot to learn. These NFL offenses are hard to grasp and pick up, and then to be able to go out and execute. So, you know, the ability for him to learn and sit behind two consummate pros already will be beneficial for him.
Yeah, it will be. I mean, Jackson Dart said his style of play is similar to Jalen Hurts. I'm still getting over that one. But, okay, just we'll see it at some point next year. I guess when Russell Wilson sinks and Jameis Winston is on another team and is Tommy DeVito, does he have like a lifetime membership to the New York Giants? It feels like it.
Yeah, he's never going to get cut, never going to get traded. He'll be a 15-year backup.
Wow. Yeah, they'll be like, hey, man, just sit on the practice squad for a little while. Bring some of your mom's cooking over next time, okay? That guy is never getting a boot. That's just crazy. You think he'll ever play for another team? None, right?
No. Yeah, I don't see if he gets cut. I don't think another team's going to bring him in.
Not even the New York Jets will bring him over. That's crazy. 888-710-4ISN. That's 888-710-4ISN. Tony from Michigan, go ahead quickly.
Hey, JR, how are you doing this evening?
Amazing. Go ahead.
Good. I got a quick question for you. Unbiased professional opinion coming from the man. Okay. Let's say you have a 12-year-old son, and he's a dog with a high ceiling, being able to play basketball and just starting his rounds with AAU. And he also plays lacrosse.
Okay.
As we continue to go down these paths and he continues to grow, he's looking at maybe potentially giving up on lacrosse. Now, my question for the unbiased opinion is, as a multi-sport athlete, what would you recommend? The saturation of the market that is basketball, if your goal is to play collegiately, or the potential of being able to play lacrosse at a college at a Division I, II, III, doesn't matter.
Ooh, I mean, does a kid want to go pro in either one, lacrosse or basketball?
I mean, those are all pipe dreams for, you know, every kid that sits behind a TV screen with a ball in their hand.
I don't think so. For some kids, it's not a pipe dream. Maybe I'm around too many professionals, but I mean, I see professionals running around. Their kids are like 3 years old, just hitting jump shots I could never make consistently in my life. So You know,
right? Well, I got one of those. I got a couple of them.
Yeah. Well, you know what, Tony? Let's take a break. When we come back, I'm going to answer your question. What the heck do you do with a multi-sport athlete? How old is the kid? What, high school, I guess?
No, he's just turning 12.
Turning 12? Okay. Yeah, this time. Hey, Tony, give me a second. We're going to take a break. I'm going to answer that question. Hey, is this your kid?
Yes, sir.
You're a good dad. You're better than that John Halliburton guy, okay?
Don't get me on the court, though.
Yeah, stay out of Giannis's face, all right?
Oh, I'm not going to push him.
Yeah, it's a good idea. I'm going to answer your question on the other side, Tony. Make sure you stay tuned, okay?
I got you, sir.
No doubt. Shout out to Tony from Michigan. You know what? I'm going to answer Tony's question, and then I'm going to give you the latest on Tyrese Halliburton's dad, because apparently the Indiana Pacers told him, stay away. I'll explain. It's the JR Sport Brief Show, the Infinity Sports Network.